Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord. Our God is worthy to be praised. Amen. Always, yes. Welcome once again, all of you here tonight, and all of you watching at this moment online. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. And God has something amazing for us throughout the rest of this month. Actually, this whole entire year, the year of Pentecost. And it's always important for us to show up with an open heart, with a spirit of expectation, receive something from God, and take it back home with you. All right? Try not to fall asleep. I do my best to keep everybody awake. Take notes, participate, and let the Word of God sink in inside of you and you watching right now also. Let it work in you. You know, put it to work. Put it to use. Don't just archive it. By all means, all these things that we receive, it comes from above. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And through the Spirit, let us receive those things that are from the Spirit. Amen? Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we exalt your holy name. And we bless your holy name, Lord, this evening. You will be glorified, Lord, here in our midst. And Lord, we are very excited for what you will be doing here, Lord. Here in this place, online, Lord, we cannot wait. I thank you so much, Lord, for the power that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for all that you have enabled us to do through the sacrifice, through your Holy Spirit, making us, Lord, eligible to be just like you, as your word instructs. And I pray, Lord, that as we study your word, may we, Lord, grasp, may we accept. May we, Lord, become part of us. Be glorified, Lord, tonight. May your people, Lord, hear you and see you this evening. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Do you have your Bibles with you tonight? Yes. Amen. I like it. Please turn to 1 Peter, chapter 4. Amen. 1 Peter, chapter 4. All right, I think that's all of us. Most of us, right? All right, let's read. We're going to start reading verse 1. The Word of God says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Hold on to that phrase right there. We're going to get back to that. Verse 2. "That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God." Amen. Amen, amen, amen. The title for this evening's message is Christ-like Attitude. And what does it mean to you, this title, Christ-like attitude? How would you translate it? And mind you, there's no wrong answer. I just want to hear your thoughts. Sister Janet, what is Christ-like attitude for you? What does that mean for you?
Being aware of what I'm saying.
Okay. Awareness. specifically what you say. All right. Anybody else? Sister Sue.
Doing things to please God.
Christ-like attitude is doing things to please God. I like that. Actually, I like that a lot. Anyone else? Yes.
Kingdom-minded.
Yes. I like that. Actually, both of you guys, I'm going to have it in my message today. I like it. Kingdom-minded. Because I don't think the microphone picked up. Anyone else? Christ-like attitude.
Imitators? Yeah.
It's Christ-like attitude?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Love it. Resisting the enemy. Christ-like attitude. Also, part of my message here tonight. Anyone else want to throw something in there? I'm liking what I'm hearing, just so you know. I promise I won't criticize you tonight. I can't make that same promise on the next service, but tonight, you can say whatever you want. Anyone else? Okay. The Word of God right now, in the beginning of this verse, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. Right there, we're going to take a brief stop. Arm yourself with the mind of Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean for you to arm yourself with the mind of Christ? And I'll tell you right now, this is what it means. It means, one, to die to self. Two, to deny oneself. And three, to give up sin. Amen. Our Lord Jesus denied himself to the ultimate degree. And now, if we want to be like Christ, if we want to be like Jesus, we have to follow his example, should we not? Would you agree with that statement? Our Lord Jesus suffered for you and I while he was here on earth. In the flesh, I'm going to put it this way, in the flesh. He suffered for us. Our Lord Jesus led a life of purity, a life of righteousness. But even so, in the midst of all of this, he was still persecuted. He was still crucified by man. Our Lord Jesus endured humiliation. He endured ridicule. He endured mockery, beatings, and he even died to please his heavenly Father. And he died to save humanity from the ultimate damnation, the ultimate destruction, which is where the enemy, Satan, and his angels and his demons will be, which is what? Hell. And everyone who is a follower of the enemy, of the adversary, is going to end up just where he's going to end up. But here enters the Lord Jesus, and he's the ultimate sacrifice for all of that. Amen? Now, this is what it means to arm yourself with the mind of Christ. Let's read Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to read verse 14 and verse 15. I'll go ahead and take that. It says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Amen? This is what our Lord Jesus did for us. when he died on the cross. This is what this is the result of living a righteous life, a life free of sin, a life, a mind that is a kingdom mind. Who said that? You said that, right? A kingdom mind. Kingdom mindedness ultimately bear the result and bear the fruit. He humbled himself and obeyed God's will unto death, setting you and I, an example for us to follow. So basically, this is what the Lord is saying right now for us here this evening. Equip yourself with the mind of Christ and prepare for the battle against the desires of the temptation that you're going to face in the flesh. And if you leave it unchecked, these desires can lead to your destruction. Therefore, it is essential to arm yourself with a protective armor and shield yourself from all the temptations that come from the outside. You see, you have been covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen? I believe I'm in a room full of believers here tonight. Okay. So you have been covered under the blood of Jesus. When God looks at you, he looks at you through Jesus, covered under the blood. You have accepted his sacrifice. But then how is it that the enemy can reach you or have an influence in you? One of the biggest ways is through enticement, enticing you to do things, or playing mind games, or having certain things reach your, I'll put it this way, steal your peace is one of them. How? Through a bad doctor's report, through a car accident, you know, whatever. Through a death in the family. You know, some people go into depression. Or could be old things that used to be part of your life. Now all of a sudden they're trying to lure you back into that old way of thinking, that old way of doing things. Things that you used to do, and I'll say it this way, when you didn't know any better. And this is why we must put on the armor. What is the armor? The armor is this: the mind of Christ. Your mind. You protect your mind. If you protect your mind, you watch what you say. The verb is the things that you say. You're not going to react out of fleshly instincts, your natural instincts. The very mind, the very same mind that delivered, the very same mind that was in Christ Jesus can be yours to head also. And he encouraged believers to have the same mindset as our Lord Jesus did toward one thing that a lot of times buckle us. That a lot of times we just throw in the towel or second guess or doubt or go into depression or all these things. And that is this: suffering. No one likes to suffer. Suffer is not enjoyable. And right now, the Word of God is telling you to equip yourself with the mind of Christ to help you towards challenging times. Otherwise, in plain terms, suffering. You see, the word translated, arm yourself, in our opening text, it is this word here. Haplistas. Let me try it again. Haplisathe. I tried. I'll take a little bit of credit. And it's only used here in the New Testament, this word. Haplisathe. And this is what it refers to. It refers to a soldier putting on an armor. Haplisathe. So when the Word of God says, arm your mind, can I have that opening verse, please, once again? 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4. When the Word of God says, arm yourselves also with the same mind. He is saying right now, just like a soldier would put on armor, like body gear, body armor, this is what you need to put on, but on your mind. I'll give you an example right now. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, turn with me there real quick, please. Ephesians 6, 13. Let's go ahead and read it. You know this verse. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen? It has the same, the same tone. It has this, the same example here as we find in Ephesians 6:13. And you and I, we who call ourselves Christians, we are to adopt Christ's attitude. And the way to do that is similar to a soldier putting on body armor through your mind. You have to arm your mind, what you think, what you allow to process in your mind. Amen? And then there's the word thought in 1 Peter, in 1 Peter 4. I also looked into this word. It is the word enoian. Which means an unshakable determination to carry out one's wishes. A determination. And for me to best help you grasp on to this Greek word, think of it this way. Have you ever encountered, or even you yourself, set your mind to do something and nobody can talk you out of it? It's that meaning. It is that word. You say, I'm going to sit down here right now and I'm going to eat this entire bowl of spaghetti and meatballs until it's completely done. Or whatever. I'm going to finish college, and I'm going to strive to get all A's. And if I don't get all A's, I'll flex a little bit, and a B plus will be the very worst. And you are determined for that. You understand? Is you setting your mind to do something and having a goal, and right now it is to desire to carry on the desires of our God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, please. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. I have this verse placed here for a reason. That reason is this. When you pick up this word right here, which is the word of God, and you let this saturate in your mind, and you study this word, and you let this be a part of you, meaning you do everything this book says, not only are you going to become Christ-like, you're also going to carry the mind of Christ. And this is going to be so alive in you that it's going to have an effect on your physical body, on your bones, on your joints, even through the marrow. And it's going to penetrate through your soul and through your thoughts, meaning the way that you think. Our Lord Jesus kept his mind and thoughts upon righteousness and salvation. And shouldn't we also? It's easy for us to say, yes, 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 we should. But do we actually carry it out? Do we actually live a righteous life? Do we actually live one that is 100% pleasing to the Lord? Are we victorious in battles? In order for you to experience a victory, I've said this so many times, you have to go and fight. There is no victory in no battle, right? There is no victory in peaceful times. We have the victory through Christ Jesus. But in order for us to attain the victory, you also got to be prepared and arm your mind with the right tools, with the right weapons, with the right armor. We must do the same. We must keep our minds on righteousness and on salvation. We must die to ourselves, just like our Lord Jesus did. We must become identified with the Lord and his self-denial and the sufferings that he went through. Do you think that especially now in the days that we're living in right now, you think that you're going to escape persecution because you identify as a Christian? More than ever in my life do I see evidence of Christian persecution all over the world. In the country that we live in right now, in neighboring countries, you know, more so right now, the Word of God is coming alive. More so. You and I must identify with the Lord and be able to take on what the enemy is going to throw our way, which a lot of times might make us slightly uncomfortable. But then what's going to happen? What is going to happen when those times come? When suffering, trials and tribulations, perilous times, how are you going to react? Where is your mind going to be? Our Lord Jesus denied the desires of the flesh in order that he could please his heavenly Father. And the results of that is he saved us. And we are to do the same. Amen? How do we do that? We overcome the desires of the flesh. We overcome the desires, the evil desires that we have, by us armoring ourselves with the mind of Christ. Now, I want you to notice something interesting here. Can you put up for me my opening verse, please? 1 Peter 4. Check this out. Where is that? Okay, right towards the end of verse 2, verse 1. But I'm going to start from the beginning. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. Now check this out. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. What? Did I read that correctly? Did the Word of God just made a hint that there's a way that we can cease from sinning? That's how I just read it, right? Amen? The person who suffers in the flesh has ceased from sin. What does that mean? How about you that's online right now? I'll take the camera real quick, please. Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. What does that mean? Whoa. How about my A students back there? Y'all with me today? Y'all awful quiet today. Wow. How awesome would it be if we would cease from sinning altogether? I mean, I strive for that. Thank you for that one amen, sister back there. Hope all of us are also. You see, let me backtrack a little bit here. You and I don't like to suffer, do we? We don't like to be judged by others. We probably dread the thought of being persecuted by the world. Going along with worldly desires does one thing. It leads to condemnation. It leads you to sin if you give in to all these things, to enticements, things that want to take you away from communion with God. But if we equip ourselves with the mindset of Christ, we can resist temptation. We can reject sinful nature. And here's the kicker. Here's the answer to the question now. Our suffering for Christ has freed us from sin and caused us to stop sinning. How about that? This is exactly what the Word of God reads. Imagine. Once again, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Look at that. Now maybe you understand a little bit now when Paul says, I rejoice in my afflictions, right? I count it all joy when I go through persecutions, when I go through trials and tribulations. And then he ends up by saying that whenever that he is weak, why, that's when he's really strong. Amen? But this is not Paul speaking. This is Peter speaking. So Peter is experiencing the same thing that Paul is experiencing. Amen? You see, we are delivered from sin by doing what is right. And we are living a righteous life, all for the Lord Jesus, all for His cause. And you know, when we have hard times, when we have trials and tribulations, when we are persecuted, that's when the grace of God abounds over you. And this is how you're able to get close to God. And this is how you become one with God. Amen? This is why the Lord Jesus said, He said, don't be alarmed. Don't be sad when you are persecuted. Just as much as they have hated me, they're also going to hate you. The Lord Jesus said, you don't belong to this world, right? The Lord Jesus said, they never knew me, so they're not going to know who you are either. All these things go along with a mindset of defeat, of depression, of worry, of hurt. Our Lord Jesus has denied himself. He has denied his desires. All for us. And we must do the same. Amen? You see, suffering for the cause of the Lord brings us closer and closer to him. And it weakens the power of sin over our lives. Amen. You experience a new dimension. You experience a new power, a new favor from God. You experience holiness. And this is why it's so important for us not to complain, not to murmur, not to doubt, not to be depressed, you know, not to be down. Because what makes you think this is not the plan of the enemy all along, right? Peter, who was that? It was Peter and John, locked up in jail. Probably in one of the worst parts of the jail, in the dungeon. And they're over there singing and praising God. This speaks of a mindset. It speaks about what was inside of them. Amen? Romans chapter 6, please. And I'm getting ready to conclude here in just a couple minutes. Romans chapter 6, verse 2, and we're going to take it all the way to verse 4. All right. Romans 6, starting in verse 2, says, "No way. No way. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we, you and I, also should walk in newness of life." Amen. Amen. This is for us. This is for us to abide in. You know, just as our Lord Jesus died on a cross for my salvation, my sanctification, for eternal life, and everything else, I'm also going to die to my earthly natures, to my earthly desires, to things that ultimately has separated me from my God, the unity that I have with Him. The only thing that separates us from God is sin. Sin. But if you equip your mind, if you equip your mind with the mind of Christ as an armor, you are able to do that. But most importantly, when hard times come, when perilous times arrive, you cannot let your mind, your carnal mind, take over. You're going to experience a new dimension. You're going to experience new things in your life. And this is how you're able to arm yourself. Amen? I'll take Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 as my final verse, and then we're wrapping up. Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 3 says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Amen? This is a sweet, sweet, sweet promise for you and I, who have decided to serve the Lord with all of our hearts, to follow the Lord with all that we have. Your life is hidden. It is hidden in Christ. Amen? Can no enemy, can no devil snatch that away, ever. By all means, don't give a gap to the enemy. Let's start with our mind. Amen? Our thought process. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we adore you. And I thank you, Lord, so very much that you have us hidden, Lord, under your wings, under your care. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder that you have us, Lord, in the palm of your hand. And I pray, Lord, that we would be Christ-like, with having, Lord, the same mind as you do. Denying ourselves, Lord. Denying our natural tendencies. Denying, Lord, our carnal nature. And ultimately, Lord, standing fast with you through good times and the bad times. I bless your holy name, Lord, that you are with us through thick and thin. And I pray, Lord, that your people will always remember that you are with us every step of the way. The trials, the tribulations, through suffering. And Lord, oh, how we want to grow closer and closer to you. And now we know how. Lord, we bless your holy name. And we thank you, Lord, for everything that comes our way. We thank you, Lord, for the victory. We thank you, Lord, that the battle is already won. And Lord, we claim the blood of Jesus over our lives and over our minds. Thank you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Let us continue to praise the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let's bless the Lord for this offering. Father God, we do bless you for this offering. Thank you for those who have given tonight, because we have the truth of your word that comes through this church, and it needs to get out to all of the world. And so, Lord, these offerings, they go for many things. They help other churches in other parts of the world, other ministries who suffer from not having enough resources. So, Lord, we help them, as well as getting your word out to all those who need to hear it. So thank you, Lord, for all that you give us and all that you provide for us to do what we do for you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.